At the opening of the 15th century, Portugal seemed an unlikely candidate to transform the maritime world. It was a small kingdom on the western edge of Europe, with a population far below those of neighboring Castile, France, or the states of Italy. Its eastern frontier was confined by a much larger Iberian rival, while its western and southern shores faced an ocean that European sailors still regarded with a mixture of practical caution, religious imagination, and inherited fear. Yet Portugal possessed several advantages that would prove decisive. It had achieved political unity comparatively early, its rulers could concentrate resources on projects of national importance, and its long Atlantic coastline encouraged generations of fishermen, merchants, pilots, and shipbuilders to treat the sea not as a barrier but as a road. Over the course of the century, Portuguese expeditions pushed gradually down the western coast of Africa, settled Atlantic islands, developed new sailing methods, and created fortified trading networks. These achievements opened routes that would eventually connect Europe directly with Africa, Asia, and the Americas. They also carried violence into regions previously beyond the sustained reach of European power, creating new opportunities for conquest, enslavement, smuggling, private warfare, and piracy. Portugal's maritime expansion emerged from the experiences of the late Middle Ages. For centuries, the waters surrounding the Iberian Peninsula had been contested by Christian and Muslim fleets, merchant vessels, fishing communities, royal navies, and independent raiders. Portuguese sailors were familiar with coastal navigation, naval warfare, and the uncertainties of maritime commerce. Ships traveling between the Mediterranean, Northern Europe, and the Atlantic ports of Iberia faced storms, shipwreck, seizure, and attack. The distinction between a legitimate warrior and a pirate was often determined less by conduct than by political authorization. A captain operating under royal orders might be praised as a defender of the faith, while an opponent conducting similar raids could be condemned as a corsair or sea robber. This flexible moral and legal environment shaped the expansion that followed. Portuguese exploration was never merely a peaceful quest for geographic knowledge. It combined commerce, religious ambition, dynastic prestige, intelligence gathering, colonization, and organized violence. The same ships that mapped coastlines also carried soldiers, captured prisoners, protected monopolies, and attacked vessels judged to be intruders. The immediate roots of Portuguese expansion lay in the political consolidation of the kingdom. During the crisis of 1383-1385, Portugal resisted absorption by Castile and placed John I, founder of the House of Aves, on the throne. His victory at the Battle of Aljubarrota in 1385 secured Portuguese independence and strengthened the relationship between a monarchy, the urban commercial classes, and a rising generation of nobles seeking wealth and honor. Once the danger of Castilian conquest diminished, the crown could look beyond the peninsula. Portugal's nobility had been shaped by the long Christian struggle against Muslim states in Iberia, but opportunities for territorial expansion at home were narrowing. North Africa offered a new arena in which crusading ideals, aristocratic ambition, and commercial calculation might be united. For merchants, expansion promised access to gold, grain, spices, slaves, and new markets. For the monarchy, overseas activity could redirect noble aggression away from internal rivalry while enhancing royal prestige. These motives converged in the expedition against Ceuta in 1415. Situated on the North African side of the Strait of Gibraltar, Ceuta was a prosperous Muslim port connected to Mediterranean commerce and trans-Saharan trade. Its capture by Portuguese forces was celebrated as a Christian victory, but it also revealed the limitations of conquest. Portuguese leaders hoped that possession of the city would provide access to the gold and merchandise flowing northward across the Sahara. Instead, Muslim merchants redirected trade toward other ports, leaving Ceuta costly to defend and less profitable than expected.